Welcome to Inside the Studio, presented by iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Joe Levy. So, before the pandemic, the guest on this week's home edition of the show, Shade, hadn't actually been home for more than 2 weeks in the last 2 years. Because 2 years, that's how long ago the indie pop trio's hit Trampoline came out, and they've spent an awful lot of their time since then in a van on the road. Now, they did put together an album's worth of new songs during that time, but once the world slowed down during lockdown, they didn't think that music sounded much like them. So they hit reset. You know, the home edition of Inside the Studio is all about letting you know how the pandemic has impacted the lives of artists, how it's affecting the way they make music. And Shade talked with our quarantine correspondent, Jordan Runtog, about the challenges and rewards of staying creative during this difficult time. You know, they also explain how you get a 13-piece string section on your new music during lockdown. And I don't want to give anything away, but masks and a very long-distance Zoom call are involved. As always, if you enjoy this episode, be sure to check out the iHeartRadio podcast that Jordan hosts. It's called Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, and it's available wherever you get your shows.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guests today are three friends from the DC metro area. They've been making music together since they were in high school, but they got the world's attention with their 2018 single, Trampoline. Blending indie pop with dreamy electro beats and elegant vocals, the track has gone double platinum and earned a feature from Zayn Malik. Now, as they prepare to drop their first LP, the band are back with a new single, No Other Way. The threesome found their name in a fantasy book series. It's a reference to a cloak made of shadow and light. I think that's the perfect way to characterize their moody, melodic talents. I'm so happy to welcome Shade, Chelsea, Max, Spencer. Thank you so much for taking the time today. It's so great to talk to you.
Yes.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh my God. So much to ask you about. First of all, your new single, No Other Way, it's incredible. I mean, empowering lyrics, and it's impossible not to dance to. And I'm a non-dancer, so that's really, that says a lot coming from me. Tell me a little more about where this one came from.
Yeah, so we wrote this song a couple months ago. Chelsea and I were quarantining with her parents at the time, and Max was coming over all the time as well. And we were feeling, you know, there was a lot of emotions, very anxious, just stressed out with everything that was happening in the world. And we wanted to write a song to remind us to try to stay present, you know, and appreciate the life that we still have. And we also wanted something to dance to. So we just wrote this tune and we're super excited to share it with people now.
Now, you were in the midst of working on your first LP when the pandemic began. Have you retooled much of it in the wake of everything that's come the last couple months?
No. Basically, we at the beginning of last summer, we had an entire album. You know, we had Trampoline, and that success kind of helped us get with some really big writers, which was just such a fun experience. But we had kind of a handful of songs. I mean, essentially an entire album's worth of songs, but it was just pretty mishmashed, bunch of different people, a bunch of different, you know, different subject matters, and it just didn't feel like us. So basically we were in Portland, I think. Oh, no, we were in Seattle, and we were just sitting around the kitchen table, and I just said, these have got to go. We've got to start over. And so we just got back on the road. We were on the road for a bit, and then the pandemic happened, and we were able to finally kind of hunker down and, you know, get all our shiz done. So that was, and this album just feels so much truer to us and who we are and what we are. And so no regrets there for sure.
How is writing at home different from writing on the road? Is it like much more communal? Do you have a preference?
I would say writing at home is 100%.
Writing at home.
100% better.
Yeah.
Because when we're on the road, I'm asleep in the van the entire time. and we're just like exhausted. We're running around. We're doing a bunch of like radio press. We're, you know, having the show. And then after the show, we're just exhausted. And then we're in the van the rest of the time. So much time to write. I would love to be able to do that. That would be like a superpower, I think. Yeah.
We aren't in the bus life world where we could have a studio in the bus. You know, Spence and I are driving the van, and would try to make beats in the car, but it's not the same. And as Chelsea was saying, we just for 2 years we were basically on the road promoting Trampoline and playing festivals, and we had this album ready. And then once the pandemic hit, it was just, we had like a moment of clarity, and we were just like, you know, this isn't, it didn't feel true to ourselves. And we just had all of this free time to actually make an album. And it was definitely kind of rough for the first couple of weeks, because we were just feeling the emotions I think everyone else was feeling, just all this, you know, worry and just getting used to spending all of your time indoors. But we just kind of embraced that and just hunkered down and wrote the majority of this album in a couple months. And it's just been kind of fleshing out these 10 songs since then. So
I was going to say, you were on the road for years living out of Airbnbs on the festival circuit. It must be a huge adjustment being, yeah, you know, stationary for this long now.
Yeah, definitely an adjustment. But a good one. We needed a break. We needed like a time to kind of settle down. We all moved into, Spence and I moved into a house in Falls Church, Virginia. Max moved into DC. And I don't think that we would have ever been able to like take this next chapter step if it hadn't been for the pandemic. So it's a little bit of a silver lining for that, for sure.
Now, what does a typical writing day look like to you? Is it something that you do every day, almost like, you know, just chipping at it a little way at a time? Or do you wait until you're inspired to say, okay, I got this new song, I want to go get together and work on it?
Well, the day starts with a amazing breakfast that Chelsea makes every morning.
I knew you were going to say that.
Ooh, what so is that?
Yes. Well, it depends. But I mean, a lot of times we get some fresh eggs, maybe some avocado, some berries, and we'll have our morning coffee. So we got to start with that. Chelsea and I are married.
We're big food people.
By the way, me and Chelsea and I are married. So we get up very early every morning and kind of try to start with a healthy morning. I think we try to write every day, but more recently we have like a bunch of songs that we're really excited about. So we've been focused on really honing in on some of these tunes and making sure like the drum sounds are perfect, the transitions are great between the chorus and the verse, you know, all that kind of stuff. But even so, we think it's important to continue to try to write.
Aside from Chelsea's amazing, unmistakable voice, is there an instrument that you feel is the most crucial to your sound? Like, you know, an instrument that you always sort of start with and go from as like your secret ingredient?
Chelsea's voice is definitely the most, we write all of our music around her vocals. But for this new album, one thing that we're very excited about incorporating has been live strings. So we have like a 13-piece string section all over this album. So we've already booked a session for No Other Way, the strings are on that song, and for the next single coming out, Once Upon a Time. But it's been interesting because we were working with this string arranger who did all of the arrangements on the last Angel Olsen album, All Mirrors. I don't know if you've... Yeah, so he did a bunch of arranging on that, and we just were fans of his work, so we reached out to him, and he came back at us with all these great parts, and after we'd fleshed them out, it was time to kind of figure out how we were going to actually record, you know, 13 players in the middle of a pandemic. And he had worked with this Northern Macedonian string section before.
Wow.
So yeah, which was incredible. So they were all wearing masks and being safe, but we basically had a Zoom call into this beautiful studio in Northern Macedonia with 13 players, an engineer, and like a, you know, conductor for 3 hours, and we're able to knock out two songs. So that's just been a huge part of this new album that's been shaping up to be a big voice all over it. So
I'm so excited about that. Excited to hear it. I'm so fascinated by the relationship between a composer and arranger. I mean, I think of someone like Paul McCartney sitting down with George Martin to work on the string arrangements for Yesterday and almost going line by line. Does the arranger, do they give you multiple options of, okay, we can take, you know, this voicing here and go up to this sort of bluesy note, or we can play it more like a Bach chorale or something like that? What was your relationship like working with the arranger?
Yeah, so this was our first time ever working with a composer. So Jarek Bischoff, shout out to him. He's been just incredible. So the way a lot of these songs already had like synthesizer strings, so you know, I guess you call it
string like,
what'd you say?
I said, or like sampled strings that sound like real strings, but they're things we chopped up.
So when we, so they sound good, but we had some sampled strings, string parts for a lot of the songs, and we sent over those to Jarek, and he, first of all, would tab those out so that we could have an orchestra actually play those parts. But then he also created all these beautiful melodies and, you know, different string hooks and stuff like that that he thought would be good. And then he sent them back to us, and we were able to comb through everything and then sort of structure it as well. So it was a really great back and forth with him. And yeah, then at that point, we would go to the actual orchestra, and he had part by part structured for them. So they would just, they just knocked it out. It was pretty amazing to see, because they would just piece by piece. In 3 hours, we had all the different parts that we wanted.
We were like in our PJs, and Chelsea would like pop in and be like, what's going on here? We're like, We're on the chorus too, and it was wild, but
that must be emotional. Oh yeah, I mean, just seeing an orchestra playing something you wrote. I mean, I can't even imagine what that feels like as a composer. That's gotta feel amazing.
It was incredible. We were like in here crying. We're like, wow, this is like sounding incredible. I was also hungover, so it was really particularly emotional for me. But no, but it's been shout out to Jarek. He's so talented and he's a great guy.
I wanted to ask you, I know everyone asks you about your band name. I wanted to ask you how it relates to your sound. As I said in the intro, shade is a cloak made of shadow and light. What drew you to that word? What is it that, you know, how do you feel it relates to you and your music?
I think that for us, we kind of do, when we read, we kind of do a book club situation where Spencer will read a book and then he'll pass it on and then he'll pass it on. So this one particular book, Spencer did a bunch of research and he read the book and he said, you have to read it. He gave it to me. I read it and then Max read it. And then we were looking for names, and shade just alone in the book, regardless of definition or anything like that, just looked like such a cool word to us. And, you know, then knowing that it's a protective cloak and you know, it's woven by a goddess, and everyone kind of perceives it differently. It just seemed like a really cool, and we love this book so much. So it's like, it just seemed to fit, you know.
What are you reading now in the book club?
Oh my gosh. Right now I'm reading a book, that was, recommended to me. It's called Breasts and Eggs. So, I'm only on like page 2 because I just started reading it, but that is what I'm reading at the moment. Spencer is reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory right now.
Yes.
the original, yeah. But
I just binged the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series as well. It was really good. Max, what are you reading right
now? I'm reading, have you heard of When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron? Very appropriate for the times right now, so I'm just trying to piece my life together and read this When Things Fall Apart book. So it's been good.
So there we go. That's the Shade Book Club, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Very diverse reading. Wow. I read that you wrote Trampoline, the lyrics at least, in about a day, very, very fast. Do you find that the best songs come quickly? They just kind of burst out of you?
I would say no. Because, I mean, Trampoline, we did have the lyrics very quickly, but that song just was like, it took us forever to evolve it, just because we were always humming different parts. We, you know, like it was just like always. So it took us forever to actually get it out. Probably like
there was. I think the song itself was written quickly, but then in terms of like the production and extra vocal melodies and stuff to layer on top of it, we worked with this great producer Alex Mendoza too, who brought a fresh perspective, specifically with the choruses. Like he kind of brought all the instrumentation down and really slowed that part of the song. So the production took a while to figure out, but the lyrics were written like definitely in a day, and the main parts of the song were written in a day. So,
but I would say it depends.
I think it does depend on whether or not, you know, some songs
Some songs come easily, and that's great, but others do take a while, and I think you can always... Some of those songs for us are some of our favorites.
Yeah, we went down so many rabbit holes with Trampoline that by the time we finished it, I think all of us were just like...
We're like, turn it off! Turn it off!
Yeah, we weren't even sure where we ended up, but we felt like it was done. We just were like, all right,
Was there a moment that you knew that it was really taking off? Was there like a lightning bolt moment for you?
I would say the Apple commercial was definitely the like, oh, this, here we go. I think that was like such a cool, like absolute dream. I mean, we grew up and, you know, Feist has her Apple commercial, and that was just like the coolest thing in the world. And that was just so iconic. And so just for us to have an Apple commercial was just insanity. So I think that's when we were like, this is amazing. I mean, yeah.
So I live in DC, so I've had some pretty cool experiences with the song, but just a couple weeks ago, I pulled up in front of my house and I heard Trampoline playing outside of my car. I thought it was inside my car, and then I thought maybe it came on the radio, and I realized it was coming from outside the car. So I hop out of the car and it's blaring down the block, like stadium level. Like I have no idea. I never heard it this loud in my life. And I was just like following the song, and I thought maybe one of my neighbors was messing with me, and I just was walking down the block, and I see this lady on the porch just sitting on this enormous speaker on her front porch, just jamming to Trampoline. And I just walked across the street and I was like, hey, she saw me standing there awkwardly, and she just paused the music. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, that's my song. I was like, hey, I'm Max. That's my song you're listening to. And she's like, oh my God, I love this song. This is my jam too. Like, this is my favorite song. And I was like, no, like I made that beat with my brother and his wife. We're in a band together. And she just was like, her mind was blown. It was just such a funny experience. And she was just like, you're lying. You're not. And I was like, no, that's me. So even now it's cool to have like experiences like that that we never thought in a million years we'd have. So
yeah. And also to add to that, I think honestly, you always dream of hearing your song on the radio, but you never think it's going to happen. So just being, you know, we were in LA and we heard our song on our local alternative station, DC 101. And that in itself was just incredible because we grew up listening to that station and we know all those guys. But then, you know, we go to the West Coast and we're in LA and the song comes on the biggest pop station. And it was like those kind of things are just pretty incredible.
Max and Spencer, you've been singing together practically since the womb, right? I mean, you were toddlers and you were making music together.
Yeah, we were.
Starting at 5 years old. There you go. Shout out to our mom who taught us how to write songs and had us write songs for Santa Claus. That was like our thing.
Songs for Santa Claus?
We would write, like every time we got in a fight, our mom would say, hey, you should go write a song for Santa. And Max and I would sit at the piano and write, you know, Santa's Evening Flight.
They had like a neighborhood Santa there. This is like the craziest thing. I wish I had this as a kid, where the same person every year, and different people had different Santas, but the same person every year in this neighborhood would dress up as Santa and come to the house and visit. But it was the same person. So every year as a kid, it's like...
They knew you.
There he is!
Yeah, shout out to Billy Batista, the Italian Santa, the original Italian Santa. He's incredible.
that was real. I mean, that was a lot of pressure, you know, writing a song
for Santa, man.
As a kid. And it was intense. There was a lot on the line.
Right. Yeah. This is, you don't mess with Christmas. Like if you get this wrong,
no.
He's missing your house.
Oh yeah. He's skipping the place. You're not getting any. No, but it really was cool getting Santa's feedback on some of our first songs.
Did he really actually give you like thoughts on it?
Oh yeah.
We still send him every song we write. We send him Trampoline. He was like, no, I'm just kidding.
No, we don't.
Well, that is one of the best first, like, early music experiences I've ever heard. Chelsea, what about you? What were some of your first musical explorations?
I'm a big Frank Sinatra fan, so I was a really crazy, wild child, and I would just be, like, all over the place. And so my mom, to get me to go to bed, she would put in, like, this little Frank Sinatra tape. I think it was, like, Best of Frank Sinatra or something, and I would just run and sing the whole album, and it was just a way to make me go to sleep. But I would say I was obsessed with a karaoke machine when I was a kid. I got a karaoke machine for Christmas, and I was probably like 12, and I swear every day after school, I would go downstairs and I would just be glued to the karaoke machine for hours. I don't know what it was. And I was singing like very interesting songs, but
like what, Chelsea?
I don't know. Like, I was obsessed with like a Carpenter song I was always singing, and I sang like a Michael Jackson song, like Annie, Are You Okay? Or something. You know, it just like was a whole thing. And Christmas songs. I mean, like, the Christmas song is one of my favorite songs, so I would always sing that on the karaoke machine.
The Mel Torme one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I got to ask all of you, what are your go-to karaoke songs?
Max, you can go first. He has a go-to, yes.
I have a go-to, Bending the Jets by Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
But it's better if there is an actual piano. If there's live karaoke, it's game over. I'm just jamming it. But
also, after the 5,000th time, I think it's a new... I think you need a new karaoke song.
I desperately need a new
We do a lot of singing and a lot of karaoke-ing, and it's always Bending the Jets for Max, which is hilarious.
We also used to do cover shows back in the day, like four-hour cover shows in D.C. Like, that's how we would kind of
supplement some
of the, you know, when we, before Trampoline, and we were doing a lot of these cover shows, and I would usually sing You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones.
It's like all 30 minutes of it. Wow.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, and we also did B-52's Love Shack, which was so cringy that I'm sure you can picture it in your mind.
Awesome.
Right now. It was so bad. Yeah. It was so bad.
This was a few years before Trampoline. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, this was a few years
was like
before 20, Trampoline.
Yeah, 15 or something.
But yeah.
Oh, man, that makes me stressed thinking about those times, honestly, but...
Well, I know you first started out singing at the 9:30 club, and it sounds like you recently went back there. What was that homecoming like for you? That must have been really special.
Oh my gosh, it was so cool. Well, I met these guys at the 9:30 club. So the first time I met them, I was 15, and I think it was 15. It was 2007, and I was told by a friend, you need to go to the 9:30 club. There's an amazing band that is opening up the show. And they're twins, and they're really super cool. So my parents did not let me go to DC alone, obviously. And so my parents brought me. It was just them two playing.
We weren't headlining, though. We were opening.
You weren't headlining, but you were opening
some
the show.
A local band. That.
And it was so amazing, and we just became best friends after that. So we met there, and then to go back to the 9:30 club and playing like one of the bigger shows that we've played, and it's a hometown show, and everyone's so hype, and our family and friends are there. Definitely emotional, definitely like a super cool experience because it's just like where it all started, which was super cool.
That is amazing. I mean, does success measure up to what you imagined when you were growing up?
Absolutely. Even better, honestly.
Headlining 9:30 club for a sold out show with all your friends and family and in your hometown,
that's got to be up there.
Probably my favorite show of all time.
That was my favorite show too.
A lot of our dreams have come true. And we're so thankful, and you know, we're traveling the world. We went to Japan. We went to London. We just have been doing so many fun things these past couple of years because of Trampoline, and you know, because of everyone's love and support. So we're so thankful, and just still pinching ourselves every minute of every day for sure.
The last show we did was with Lizzo in Mexico,
Puerto Vallarta,
on the beach, and there were humpback whales. I kid
you're
you not.
You're kidding me.
He's not kidding.
I swear. Jumping out of the water.
Like Free Willy style.
No joke. Like putting on a show for everyone there. It was insanity. And that was right before the pandemic, basically. So that was the last show we had.
So we consider ourselves very lucky.
So we are thankful. We had some truly amazing, amazing shows before, you know. But I mean, like Chelsea said, even now we're also grateful that we have had this time to write an entire album that really came from us trying to look at our emotions and be honest with each other, and we're very proud of it.
I know not being able to tour is going to be tough for so many reasons. So I wanted to ask you, have you ever had any Spinal Tap style moments where it's just like tour mini disasters?
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Well, tour is just filled with sleepless nights, people getting sick. Max had like a horrible, horrible flu the last time we were on.
It was so bad. I can't even tell you. I was like literally puking in a trash can in San Francisco like 5 seconds before walking on stage. But I was wearing a mask
for four shows,
so I felt like I was getting that in the ether.
Yeah. And, you know, losing instruments, me wanting to kill both of them. And
that happens a lot.
Yeah. So it just like, it's always just such an interesting, and it's, you know, tour is so great. And just playing shows in new places, seeing fans, like traveling, all that is great, but it can be so exhausting. So I think that we haven't been home for more than 2 weeks before this pandemic in the last almost 2 years. So just being able to, and I am for sure a homebody more so than them. I'm always getting a little homesick on tour and, you know, I'm having a great time. But so I think that we just needed this reset for a minute, you know, and especially like we had ditched the songs and we were like, just all in a place where we were just feeling frustrated. We wanted to write, but really couldn't find our voice at the moment. And then the pandemic hit and we were just, you know, the confusion of everything, the anxiety of everything just like made us not even want to do anything, which made us even more depressed. We're like, we don't even want to write music.
Yeah, we had all this time and it was like impossible to write for.
Yeah, it's like we finally have a minute and we can't even do that. And then like, just something clicked one day and we just kind of like, we got to get this going. And then we've just been writing, you know, kind of ever since. And it's been so fun seeing these evolve.
It's not that we weren't trying to write. It was just at the beginning of the pandemic. It was really difficult, you know, just trying to be being creative. And we were getting used to, also Chelsea and I loved living with your parents. They're amazing. But just like our whole world was just kind of flipped, you know, and it took some time to get used to it. But
I was going to say, it sounds like you moved and you finished an album in the midst of all this. I think, you know, I still feel like proud of myself for like, you know, putting pants on during a pandemic. So like, you know, you're doing pretty damn good, I got to say. What's next for you? What can fans look forward to? When do you have are you able to say when the album's slated for?
Yes, we're looking at April at the moment. April is it's coming up quick, but we got all the songs are ready to go, and we just need some strings on a couple more. And we have another song coming out early December, which we're really excited for, more of a ballad with a lot of strings, it's gonna be great. And so in the meantime, we're just gonna keep making big breakfasts and making sure everything's good. And yeah,
well, my last question, and I ask this of everyone, if you could snap your fingers and have everything go back to whatever your definition of normal is in 2019, say, what would be the first thing that you would do? People to hug, places to go.
Very good question. Well, my grandma lives. We just moved right next to my grandma 7 minutes away, and I've not been able to hug her since the pandemic. So I'd say hug my grandma and then go to like Greece or something. Just fly away, get on an airplane and not have to. We flew to Florida a couple weeks ago and I almost died because it was a full flight. It was just a disaster. Florida is all chaos. So getting on a plane that's normal and not filled, going to some fun place and feeling like...
And we went to Florida, just for the record, just to shoot a music video. It wasn't for any kind of vacation.
Oh, no, 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 no. It was not a vacation. Well, it was amazing, but Florida's crazy in the best way possible. But yeah, that's what I would do.
Good answer. Good answer.
I don't know what I would do.
I feel like they would want to go out to like a restaurant or something and be able to sit inside and not worry about...
I'd probably go to do karaoke, to be honest. I'd probably,
oh my God, you probably
would. With a bunch of our best friends.
Yeah.
And family, just like have a big fun karaoke party. And that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. I think I would, like Chelsea said, honestly, just give a hug to all my family and friends. And it's hard not, you know, hanging out with people, especially now that we're home. It's like, that's what we
I know.
Always,
it's like, where's our housewarming party?
Yeah, maybe we throw a fun housewarming party.
Yeah,
for everybody.
Oh, that's a good one.
But no complaints. You know, we're just very happy to be doing what we're doing and staying safe.
Chelsea, Spencer, Max, it's been awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio Home Edition, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio and other shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.